taped from New Jersey. It's the SNL Nerds, the show where two comics from New Jersey nerd out about Saturday Night Live. I'm your co-host, John Trumbull.
And I'm your co-host, Darren Patterson.
Hey, Darren.
How's it going, John? We're winding down February. It's coming. It's all coming to a close. It's all crashing down over our heads.
Right. Yes. Much like democracy.
And, ooh, wow.
Yeah.
Damn. All right.
I don't know. Everything's going to hell.
It is. Like listeners, we know you listen to this podcast for, you know, the peppy upbeatness that we always serve up. But yeah.
Is that what we serve up? I'd always wondered.
Is it not?
I don't know.
Oh, boy.
I don't feel very peppy and upbeat these days. Do I come off that way? I don't think so. I don't know.
Yeah, no. Yeah, we're always kind of doom and gloom. But the show, SNL, usually kind of picks us up a little bit. And talking to each other about the show picks
me up. That part picks me up. Yes. Yeah. I am assured week in, week out, even if I do not enjoy the SNL episode or movie that we are discussing that week, I will always enjoy discussing it with you. It is definitely a highlight of my week.
That's what friends are for.
Well, again, yeah. Now it's no longer a highlight of my week.
Okay, well, there. Okay. I can't, like Billy Joel, I cannot leave a tender moment alone.
No, you cannot.
You cannot.
But no, I enjoy our discussions.
So. Yeah, they're good.
And hopefully that translates to our listeners enjoying. I don't know. We get so little feedback on this podcast. I really don't know how it comes off half the time. So,
yeah. Like, I mean, we do get tweets from you guys and we do appreciate it. But, you know, we could always use more feedback, more reviews, more just a little nods or something to let us know how we're doing. Just make us feel like we're not just yelling out into the empty void of podcasting land.
Yeah, I mean, as long as we can just avoid the existential angst, you know, that's really what it's all about.
Yes, if two podcasters make a podcast in their closets, does it make a sound?
Well, I'm not in my closet, but okay.
Oh, wow. Okay,
And listeners, you should know, Darren is not speaking about a metaphorical closet. He's not closeted or anything like that. No, he literally records his half of the podcast in his closet.
That's right. That's my dedication to this podcast. I will empty all my clothes out the closet, drape myself in a sound blanket, and lay down these fat tracks for you, the listeners.
Is that what you have to do? You have to clear out the closet every week?
Yeah. That's.
Oh, my God. I didn't know you did that.
How else am I going to do it?
So every week you're moving hangers of racks of clothing out of your closet.
Yeah. Like, what am I going to do with this? Do it over my like my pea coat and what my sweaters in my
face? I didn't know that. That's so funny.
I'm going to do my podcast with my sweaters in my face? No.
I just thought it was like a relatively empty closet or something. I mean,
no, it's not. I have many
so whenever
closets.
You say like I'll be there in 5 minutes, I'll be ready in 5 minutes. That's how you're spending those 5 minutes. You're just like piling clothing on your couch or something.
Yeah, moving day is every day for me.
That is so hilarious to me.
So listeners, leave a review. Leave a just. I'm cleaning out my closet for you fuckers. So for the love of Mike, just give us a review and a tweet.
And you know what? Donate to our Patreon. Let's call it Darren's Second Closet Fund. So, because Darren needs a second closet to either put his clothes in or record his podcast in. One of the two.
A closet, a strong coat rack, just something I can just put all my belongings onto whilst I podcast.
Yeah. So anyway, we're here this week to talk about season 49, episode 12, with Shane Gillis hosting. 21 Savage is the musical guest. This is from February 24th, 2024. So this episode has an interesting backstory to it, I suppose.
Oh, it does. It does. So for those who don't know, back in 2019, SNL hired three new cast members, Bowen Yang, Chloe Fineman.
Yeah, heard of her.
Chloe Fineman.
Yeah,
And Shane Gillis.
Him, not so much. Yeah.
Yeah, not so much. And they were going to come onto the show. It's a big deal. But then, lo and behold, some things came to light over some derogatory and not great things that Shane said about Asian people and whatnot on his podcast.
Yeah.
And due to that, that caused him to be fired before he was ever on the show.
Yeah, and this happened over the course of like 4 or 5 days. So it was really weird.
Yeah.
It was like, you know, it was the big internet outrage du jour for a little while there. And then it just, and then he was fired, or yep, his offer of employment was rescinded, however you want to phrase it.
Yeah.
And that was pretty much it.
Yeah. The end. But yeah, then he went on other podcasts to talk about the firing. And of course that kind of, I guess, made him a martyr to a lot of people, you know, the certain sect of people who are like, see, you can't say what you want to say because the liberals and the PC police and blah, 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 and cancel culture and like all those types were just kind of rallying around Shane Gillis. And he kind of became a bit of a cause for yeah, them.
And also after that, his stand-up career blew up. He had a stand-up special on YouTube, which did very well, and that led to him having another stand-up special on Netflix, which has also done very, very well. So he's become a name.
Yeah, he's doing very well. He's actually performing next week, I believe, at Radio City Music Hall, which is
okay,
insane.
I didn't know that. So yeah, well, yeah, that's quite a feather in his cap.
Yeah, yeah. So he became a pretty big name comic without the help of SNL. So, you know, fast forward to today where SNL reached out to him to be the host of the show. And when I first heard this, I was pretty shocked, to be honest, because, I mean, SNL came when they fired him. They, you know, they gave this long kind of speech, you know, this, you know, PR press release saying, you know, yeah, we found out he said these things that don't mirror the values of us here at NBC, Universal and SNL. And we don't want that to blah, blah, blah. So, you know, they kind of came forward, you know, with the, like I said, the PR press release saying,
yeah, yeah,
he doesn't reflect our values. Fast forward to today, where
but apparently they missed like one line on that press release, which was, P.S. this all goes out the window if he becomes like a big enough celebrity to host the show.
Exactly.
Then we're cool with everything.
Exactly. It's just like, all right, so what the fuck, NBC, really?
I don't know. It just shows you how
showbiz,
how cyclical this stuff is, and how So he was hosting the show, and I went and, you know, I was like, okay, well, he's hosting, I guess I better do a little more research on this guy and get a little more familiar with him and his work. I listened to his episode of the Fly on the Wall podcast with Dana Carvey and David Spade, where he talked a bit about the firing in there. That's worth listening to. And I also checked out his stand-up special on YouTube. And
thoughts?
Honestly, it was a couple of weeks ago that I watched it because I kind of forgot that there was going to be a gap of a couple of weeks before he hosted. So it's not terribly fresh in my mind anymore. Mm-hmm. I remember thinking it was just like okay, but nothing spectacular.
Yeah, same. Yeah.
I haven't seen his Netflix special.
Yeah, it is weird. Like, a lot of people really like him. Like, really, really like him. But I watched a little bit of his special on YouTube, and I watched a little bit of the Netflix special. And so between those two things I watched and this episode, I think I can officially say that, like, I don't quite get it.
Yeah.
Like, he's all right. He's like, he is kind of funny, but he's not like this comedy messiah that a lot of people kind of make him out to be in their minds.
I mean, he's no Matt Rife. I mean,
yeah, oh my God. My God, the dude's hilarious with that chin. Come on now.
I don't know. It's so arbitrary, the people who make it big and the people who don't. That's
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. All right, should we dive into the episode?
Let's dive into this episode, see what we think.
Okay, starting off, we have the Trump Victory Party cold open. So this was, you know, Trump did very well at the South Carolina primary. He won by 20%, I believe.
Yeah. He won South Carolina, beat out Nikki Haley. Nikki Haley born and raised in South Carolina, was the governor of South Carolina, mm-hmm. did not win South Carolina.
That seems bad.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah, that seems bad. Kind of like how Trump didn't win New York State.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that.
True. Just saying. I'm just saying, if somebody doesn't carry their home state, pay attention. It tells you something.
I didn't even think about that. Well done, yeah. sir. Well played.
All right. Anyway, okay, so this is, we had a bunch of the other Republican candidates or prominent Republicans kind of gathering and commiserating about how horrible Trump is.
Yeah, we have Mikey Day as Senator Rich and Marcello as Senator Rubio.
Yeah, Marco Rubio, former Senator Rubio.
Former.
James Austin Johnson as Lindsey Graham and Devin as Tim Scott. And they're just, oh, yeah, here's this horrible thing that Trump did to me or said about me. And, you know, oh, you're still endorsing him, right? Oh, yeah, most definitely. So just kind of commenting on that Republican hypocrisy.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. I thought this was interesting in that they're talking about Trump without showing Trump. I think they've kind of realized, okay, yeah, maybe this directly parroting Trump isn't working so well for us. So are there ways we can talk about this guy without showing this guy?
Yeah, no, that's true. I mean, I also probably thought that they left out Trump because of the, you know, pre-tape later on in the show, which we'll talk about. But yeah, with this cold open, yeah, I think it kind of fell flat a little bit just because the whole thing is they're just like stating facts and actually saying things that Trump actually did and be like, oh yeah, of course.
I mean, it's impossible to parody the guy at this point because everything he does is so outrageous. It seems like a parody.
Yeah, but there's no real jokes in here too. Like I thought, and no real escalation. I thought it would kind of go somewhere with this, like, or maybe it would escalate to the outrageous things that Trump hasn't done, but sounds like things he could do. It's like, oh yeah, Trump peed on my lawn and kicked my dog, and he you know, he drove his car through my living room and punched out my grandma or something. But I'm still endorsing, like something like that.
Yeah, I think they could have done that. I think I was kind of surprised they didn't bring Ted Cruz in somehow, because I mean, Trump has been awful to Ted Cruz, and don't get me wrong, I am fully in favor of people being awful to Ted Cruz in pretty much any way possible. He deserves all the awfulness in the world.
Hear, hear.
But I was kind of surprised they didn't. I mean, maybe just because they don't have a Ted Cruz anymore since A.D. Bryant left the show. I don't know. But yeah, like you said, it didn't really escalate. And yeah, it was a very low key kind of cold open.
Yeah, very much so. I think at one point, I think one of the more exciting things that happened is like where they're all at a restaurant, they're all eating like tater tots or whatever.
Tater tots and pigs in a blanket, yeah.
Yeah, and I think at one point as JAJ is delivering his line, he almost like kind of chokes on the food a little bit.
Yeah, I don't know if that was...
I don't know if
that was for real or not, yeah.
I think that was for real. Okay. But then there's this one point where like, you know, Tim Scott talks about how much he loves Trump and everything, but then Lindsey Graham says, "Hey Tim, whatever he did to you, it's not your fault."
Yeah,
and it's like, "Oh no, man, I just like him. I think it's great." Like I thought they were gonna kind of go into this direction where they all kind of realize they're in some type of Stockholm syndrome or something like that. Where
I've also heard theories because like Lindsey Graham early in the campaign in the 2016 campaign, he said. He was speaking out against Trump and he was like, oh yeah, if Trump is our candidate, if Trump is elected, it'll be the end of us as a party and we'll deserve it. And then he just falls in lockstep and he's like, rah, rah, Trump. So the speculation is like, oh, they have something heinous on Lindsey Graham and he's being blackmailed. You know, I mean, they could have done something along those lines or.
Yeah. Or like in a way they're all kind of like, have like a battered wives mindset where there was a lot of ways they could have gone, but they didn't go in any of those ways and just kind of ended up being kind of blah.
Mm-hmm.
It's just kind of like, oh yeah, we're just saying what he actually said, you know, little Rubio and how much Rubio sweats and, but I'm still going to vote. I'm still going to support him. And where's this going, man?
Nowhere. It went a whole lot of nowhere.
So. Yeah. So, yeah, pretty weak cold open, I'd say.
Mm-hmm. All right, next we have our stand-up monologue from our host this week, Shane Gillis. And as all stand-ups are legally required to do, does the monologue with a hand mic.
It's the law.
It's the law. Because God knows we don't know what to do with our hands if we don't have something in our hot little hands.
Hot little hands.
And he right up top, he says, like, you know, I was actually fired from the show. And he says, don't look that up. Don't Google it. And that was it. He didn't go into it at all beyond that, which kind of surprised me.
Yeah, that kind of bummed me out. I really thought that, like, they would really get into it, like, either the cold open or the first sketch or most of the monologue. But they really don't get into it at all. They just brush it aside and that's it. Like, I felt like that was a real missed opportunity. And I mean, I guess you could say that, oh, it happened 5 years ago. No one remembers anymore. Why bring up the past and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know. Part of me would agree with that. If it wasn't for the fact that when they announced that he was going to host, then all the news outlets automatically brought up the fact that he got fired for saying the things on a podcast. So it is fresh in people's minds. So why wouldn't you just comment on it and make some jokes about it?
If I had to guess, and this is just purely speculation on my part, I'm guessing Shane Gillis was like, yeah, I don't want to get into it. Because really, what's the upside for him?
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know. As a comedian, you should be able to kind of make fun of everything, right?
So no, I agree. I think it was a missed opportunity that they didn't get into it at all. Really?
Yeah. Yeah, like
you could have. I mean, he really brushed it aside, man.
Yeah, like he could have brought it up, owned it, made some jokes about it, and like I feel like that would have earned him more goodwill with the audience or the people who didn't know.
Yeah, and then after that, he just did a very typical stand-up set, not really talking about anything topical, not even talking about the strangeness of him hosting the show after being fired from it, after being hired from it and fired from it without ever actually working there. I mean, come on, how is anything you're going to talk about more interesting than that?
Yeah, like there's so much meat on that bone, and you're going to talk about how you should have been a high school football coach?
Yeah, really? And then making fun of his dad for coaching high school basketball for girls.
Yeah.
And then he talking about, well, when did I stop being my mom's best friend? And, it was just very tepid kind of stand-up material.
Yeah, I think I saw somebody on Twitter talking about how it was pretty much like open mic shit.
Yeah.
And, it kind of is. Like, he talked about, and that's another thing. There's something about, like, maybe his cadence or the way he delivers reminded me a lot of, like, Louis C.K. a little bit. He even came out with, like, a black T-shirt like Louis would come out in.
Yeah, I thought when he came out with a black T-shirt and, like, the black jeans, I was like, oh, he's shopping at the Louis C.K. ensemble.
But, yeah, like, I mean, the way he even kind of sounds a little, his voice sounds a little like Louis C.K. and
well, you know what? The delivery. Thing he did that you compared him to an open micer, and the thing that he does that I find really annoying and really amateurish is he's laughing at his own material during his set. And that just drives me up the fucking wall whenever I see a stand-up do that, you know?
Yeah, like, it's weird. Like, I mean,
there's one stand-up in particular who does that. He's not, like, a nationally known comic, but he is relentless at laughing at his own material. And it's just, oh, I hate it. I hate it so much.
Trumbull, I don't laugh at my jokes that much. Have you seen my recent set?
You don't. It's somebody. Oh, you're not talking about me? Somebody that you know, and I'll tell you their name off air.
Ooh. Dish.
But it's just like, oh God, it's like a knife twisting in my gut. If anyone is listening to this who does stand up at any level, don't laugh at your own jokes, please.
Yeah.
If something genuinely funny and spontaneous happens, yeah, of course, laugh, react to the moment. But if it's a joke you tell on a regular basis every fucking night, don't laugh at it.
Yeah, like, it's one of those things where it kind of comes across as amateurish, and, like, it makes you look kind of like you're nervous, like it's a nervous laughter.
Yeah, I mean, he also talked about how he was very nervous, and he did seem, he did seem to have some nerves, so he obviously wasn't at his best, but...
Yeah, I mean, like, I've seen, like, a lot of people online talking about, oh, he bombed, this cold open, this monologue was a bomb. He even mentions it, talking about how it was so brightly lit in there, he could see people not enjoying it.
Yeah, yeah. And like even at the end of the monologue, when he's like, "We have a great show, 21 Savage is here, so come on, so stick around." And then the camera's like pulling back from him. You see him make a little hand gesture. He does that little wave of his hand, like kind of denoting, so. Like he was signaling to somebody in the audience or something. Did you notice that?
Oh, I didn't even notice that. No.
Check out the very end of his monologue again. He does a little like wave of his hand, I don't know. Yeah, he knew it didn't go so hot.
Okay, maybe his mom and dad were in the audience. Maybe he's talking to them.
No, it didn't look like he was signaling to anybody in the balcony. Mm. It was...
Okay, all right, friend. I will give it a look-see. Yeah, but this monologue, it didn't really win me over.
No.
You know, jokes about his family members with Down syndrome and all. The jokes were okay, but yeah, they were very much like kind of open micer type of material. They weren't super strong. They really didn't impress me, really.
Yeah. Yeah. Same here.
Yeah. To quote the great Shania Twain, that don't impress me much.
Okay.
Okay. Okay.
All right. You pulled out the Shania. All right. Well, let's go on to the first sketch of the night, Church on Vacation, with Shane, as he's a father, who's dragged his family to church. They're on vacation. Wackiness. They're in a church largely populated by Black people. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And that's... Are they going to do things differently from how they're used to things at church, at white people church?
Yeah, it's crazy. And I see what you're getting at, and I agree with you, because that's like the one thing with the sketch that I was like, that I really wasn't crazy about. Like, it goes the way you think it's going to go. There's no real surprise or anything. And yeah, it's like a very fish out of water sketch. It's family from Ohio visiting Jamaica.
Yeah.
The father is dragging the family to church because, you know, they're Catholic.
6:30 a.m. Mass.
6:30 a.m. Mass, and it's like all of the like tropes you would expect to see in a Jamaican church are there. Like the father, played by Ego Wodim, was wearing Adidas slides with no socks, and they're doing like reggae songs, praising God, under the blood, and then the father gets into it, him saying, you know, under pardon the cross, under the blood.
Yeah, and he's talking in the patois, and
the song is catchy, I'll give it that, but it doesn't really I don't know, it's just kind of
ended really abruptly. We had Heidi as the wife. She's up there, they pull her up on stage, and she's like dancing around with them, and then it just kind of ends with that.
Yeah,
it's not really a fun old gag or anything. It's just
one of the church women is grinding on Dismukes, Shane Gillis' son, and then they all like church, and, you know, Wagwan, under the blood. And it's like, all right.
At the end, I was just like, what was the point of this? What?
Yeah, it's just kind of predictable, and yeah.
It's just a big nothing burger, man.
Yeah, I guess it's funny to hear white people do Jamaican accents, but I feel like that's...
That's like level one. I need you to take this up to at least a level three, you know?
Yeah. Like, I feel like that's something that we thought was funny back in the 80s. Like, oh, white people acting like talking in the Jamaican patois. Wagwan.
Yeah, I think that would have been enough in the 80s. But, you know, now, yeah, we need a twist. We need an escalation. We need something more than that, than just like the super obvious thing.
Yeah, sometimes, like, super obvious is okay. Like I said before, simple sketches, simple ideas for sketches are okay. But then you need you need the cast members to, like, elevate it and, like, really bring some
it. We were talking about the Tom Hanks Black Jeopardy sketch last week. What made that sketch, you know, such a beauty and such, you know, a modern classic that it is because you didn't see the twist coming.
Yeah.
It had an actual original idea, an original insight, which was that, you know, a lot of these, you know, white right wingers do have more in common with black people than they might think at first glance.
Yeah, and, it's a fantastic sketch.
Yeah, and you know, so that had something actually funny and original and insightful to say, and this had none of that.
Yeah, it's like, oh, white people pray like this, but black people be praying like this.
It's true, we're so lame.
And it's like,
I mean, it's literally a joke that The Simpsons did back in the 90s. I mean, come on.
Like, y'all ever go to a black church? Oh, we be praying differently at a black church. Let me tell y'all something right now.
Yeah.
So. It's like, all right. I guess. But yeah.
It felt like they just pulled the first draft right off of somebody's computer and went straight to the cue card department without any rewriting or something, you know?
Yeah. This sketch felt like so simple. Again, the song is catchy, so maybe they thought the song was enough to carry this sketch, but it's...
Nah.
I see through that shit, son.
Nah.
Yeah, pretty weak.
Nah. Next, we have a pre-tape, Rock Bottom Kings. This is an online gambling ad. This was, you know, it starts out like most gambling ads, you know, talking about how much money you can potentially make. And then they have the obligatory, you know, if you have a gambling problem, please call this number. And then they get into the thing that makes this gambling company different, which is it's Rock Bottom Kings, where you get to take prop bets on how your friend is finally going to hit rock bottom with her gambling problem. This was cute. I like this. This had a decent twist to it.
Yeah, not bad, not bad. You know, you could bet on how your friends will lose all their money. Will they go double or nothing on a random WNBA game? Or will they blow their child's college fund on a coin toss?
Yeah. Yeah. Are they going to start a fake GoFundMe saying they have leukemia? Are they going to go change their identity and go into hiding but be discovered because they're still making bets on the app? This was funny. You know, it was quick. The performances were pretty good and it was shot well. This was one of the better sketches of the night, I think. This might have been my sketch of the night.
Oh, I think there's one I liked a little bit more, but yeah, I thought this was okay. It's a little wordy. I don't know if it was wordy is the right word, but there was a lot. It was mostly just Marcelo and Shane and Keenan just kind of talking to the camera. Maybe you needed more kind of visuals or other visuals to sort of break that up a little bit more.
Uh-huh. Okay. But, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, but for the most part, it was just like them kind of like just like a lot of talking head stuff, like just talking right to the camera. I think
talky talk. You didn't
Yeah.
You need a little more action.
That's right. Too much chitter chatter.
Yeah.
But yeah, overall, it's just
chitter chatter about schmatter, schmatter, schmatter. I can't give it away on 7th Avenue.
Oh, where's that from?
This town's full of tatters. Chatter.
Oh, okay. Rolling Stones.
Rolling Stones. Yes.
Got it. All right.
One of my favorite Rolling Stones songs.
Ooh, that's a good one. What's one of my.
That's a massively underrated Rolling Stones song.
That's a good. There's a couple I like a little bit more. I think.
Let's get into it. I'm already more engaged in this than I am in the discussion of SNL this week.
All right, I'll shoot out some. Bitch, I think is great. Song. She's so cold.
She's so cold. Very good one.
Yep. Tumbling Dice.
Mm-hmm.
What's that one? Ha ha breaker. Do 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 do.
I don't think I know that one.
I think it's called Heartbreaker.
Oh, Heartbreaker. Okay. Yeah.
Heartbreaker.
Yeah.
I mean, what else? I mean, you know, Under My Thumb, I like a lot.
Under My Thumb. Great song.
Oh, wow. I mean, that's just off the top of my head. But it's
a good list.
Yeah. Guys, go listen to the best of Rolling Stones.
Yeah.
That band's pretty good. I think I'm going to go places.
I mean, yeah, we're getting in on the ground floor of this thing. I think these Rolling Stone guys are going to be big.
Guys, buy stock in Rolling Stones right now. That's my not Jake Tapper. What's that dude? Mad Money guy.
Oh, Jim Cramer.
That's my Jim Cramer hot tip of the week. Guys, buy stock in the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, but I enjoyed this. I thought it was funny. It sounds like I liked it a little more than you.
Yeah, I thought this was okay, but I don't know. There's another sketch I think I liked a little bit more, but we'll get
okay.
There. We'll get
Wait, there. Would that sketch be our next sketch? HR meeting?
No.
Oh, okay.
All right. I thought the sketch was okay.
All right. We thought HR meeting was okay.
Yeah, this one written by Mike DiCenzo, Jake Nordwind, and PDD Boys.
Nice. Nice. We got Bowen and Heidi as two HR reps. They're talking to a company, talking about, you know, what's okay, what's not okay. And they say, like, you can ask your coworker out only one time. And if they say no, that's the end of it. You can't ask them out again, because then that's sexual harassment.
Right. So then, of course, Shane stands up. It's like, all right, so if I ask a coworker out and she says no, does that mean I can, like, ask, like, does it reset at the end of the year?
Yeah.
Or can I ask my second choice out? And if they say yes, but I don't really want to go out with them, can I bank that yes and use it for?
And they're like, no, this is not a game show. You cannot do this. And I like how he immediately moved on to his second choice. He wants to ask out Chloe Trost's character, Lauren. And then he's like, okay, so I will go to my second choice. And he asks out Ego's character. And she's like, well, you know, this doesn't say a whole lot for my self-esteem, but yes.
And then he's like, yeah, see, I don't know. You want it too much. I don't know if I'm into
that. Still not feeling it.
Yeah. I did think the part was funny where we have Michael Longfellow as Clark. And then Shane says, everybody here knows Clark is gay, right? And then, of course, he says, like, no, I just told you. No one else here knows.
Yeah.
And then Shane goes, all right, well, Clark is gay. So since he's never going to ask out a woman due to his condition, can I use his ask out for myself? Can I bank that? I thought that was pretty, like, the due to his condition.
I mean, there was some clever writing in this one. This one I enjoyed. I thought it had just this weird non sequitur ending where, you know, we just have Marcello is like, and booty khakis are okay. And then he turns around and he's wearing like booty shorts made out of khakis.
Yeah, that was a weird way to end the sketch. Just show
just totally random, just out of nowhere ending.
Like, and, hey, Marcello, just show your ass.
Yeah.
Well, that'll be the button on this thing.
I was like, how do we not have a good ending for this? It was pretty strong up until this point. And then this is a sketch where, like, if somebody like Louis C.K. had performed it, I think it would have knocked it up to another level. You know, I could see Louis C.K. really nailing this.
Yeah.
Basically, I'm saying if we're going to have disgraced comedians hosting SNL, we might as well just bring Louis C.K. back and you know, put him in the Five Timers Club.
I guess so.
I mean, because we know the guy's a good host.
Yeah.
He might not be a good person, but he was a good host.
Yeah, I mean, they had Alec Baldwin in for that one quick cameo. So, I don't know. I think the door is slowly opening for them to have Louis C.K. back on. I mean, but then again, like, he'd have to have maybe something to promote or something like that. And I think he's still kind of persona non grata in Hollywood in general. But
I don't know. His career is still kind of rolling along. He's had a few stand-up specials since.
Yeah, but, like, they're all, like, on his website and... But,
yeah, I mean his career is not what it once was, but...
Yeah, like, I think he lives in, like, Paris now or something.
Does he? Oh.
I think...
Oh, well, so obviously he's hurting.
Yes, of course. He's exiled to... He's drinking, eating baguettes in Paris. Uh-huh. The man's living a hard life.
Well, now I'm just flashing back on Louis C.K.'s routine of, like, you know, eat a bag of dicks. Oh, bag them. Are they sticking out like baguettes?
Eat a baguette dicks. Baguette dicks? That's something, right?
Yeah. That's something, yeah.
Okay. But yeah, HR meeting. Not bad. There's some good stuff in here. I liked how...
worth watching.
Yeah. I liked how at one point Shane's character has like $150,000 in cash on him. And
yeah. And they're like, why do you have that much cash on you? He's like, oh, I go to the strip club during lunch.
Yeah. Like that, just like a little random non sequiturs. This sketch had like a whole bunch of non sequiturs in it that were actually pretty funny.
Yeah, I just wish we didn't have one as the ending. So
yeah, that was quite that was a weird way to end it.
Gave me comedy whiplash is what had happened there.
Yep.
You know, just it's like, what? Oh, it's over. Okay.
And it's over.
Yeah.
Next up, we got another pre-tape, Trump Sneakers.
Trump sneakers, because our former president Donald Trump, he had an interesting week. He's had a couple of recent judgments against him. He had, what was it, like a $533 million that he has to pay.
Interest
is going up, and he has to pay this within 30 days or something. And
yeah, like he owes a ton of people a ton of money. He absolutely does not have. He can't do business in New York for like 3 years. I don't know why it's only 3 years. It feels like that should be a little heavier. So he'll probably.
I agree. But this is not the end of his trials and tribulations. And
yeah.
So you know, what better time to start yet another grift? And he introduced Trump sneakers, which are the lamest, cheesiest ass looking gold sneakers you'd ever care to see. If you took a pair of sneakers out back in your driveway and you just spray painted them gold, they would 100% look better than these fucking things.
Yeah, for sure. But you know, grifters going to grift. Yeah. And now they're a thing. So we'll.
And he's asking like what, like $300, $400 for them, something like that?
Something like that. Some insane price. And you know, some Jamoke is probably going to pay it just to say they have it. And it's, I don't know. Hopefully it'll backfire in its face somehow. But
yeah,
I don't know. It's so damn weird, man. Everything is just so, so damn weird.
We're living in the bizarro world now.
We really are.
It's nuts.
Yeah. So based on those Trump sneakers, we decided to do this little pre-tape about it. So it's a movie trailer. Stars Shane Gillis as this loser who just can't get his life together. Loser at work, loser at love, and a loser at playing basketball. He can't make the buckets. So one day he's like, just goes to the locker room. Why am I such a loser? He sees somebody left him a pair of sneakers. Or Donald J. Trump left him some of his crappy golden sneakers to wear. So puts on the sneakers. He goes out to the basketball courts. He's still a terrible basketball player, but now he has the confidence to just kind of lie about it and just double down until people believe his lie.
He just blatantly lies about it. He's like, no, I made that basket. And people are like, no, you didn't. He's like, yes, I did.
I thought that was an interesting, because like that is something that Trump absolutely does. And I thought that was an interesting way to go about it. Because like I did think maybe the sneakers would make him play better, but they're actually just make him a stronger liar.
Lining. Yeah.
Yeah. So then we see that, and also we get to see Shane Gillis bust out his Trump impression too.
It's a decent enough Trump impression, I suppose.
Decent Trump.
Yeah, decent Trump. And then we have James Nelson Johnson come on as his Trump, and we have a little mini Trump off.
Trump off.
And then we learned the title of the fake movie, White Man Can Trump. Ha ha.
The title's a little, little cheap, but overall, not bad. I the idea is interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like the way that he has like the sneakers on and they don't make him a better lover, but they, you know. He's able to have the confidence to tell the women, oh, actually, no, that was a 2-hour session. It wasn't 30 minutes or anything. And you had a big O.
Best sex you ever had. And
So I was like, all right, this is an interesting kind of premise. It's not bad.
Yeah.
But I understand, like, if you're someone who's sick of seeing Trump, this could be like.
It wasn't that so much as I was just so on it in general. It was a decent enough premise.
Yeah, it was a decent enough.
It just didn't really catch fire for me, I guess.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but yeah, so Trump sneakers.
Trump sneakers.
It's all right.
Yeah, at the very end we find out that Mikey has Air Bidens and he like acts old and stumbles. Ha ha.
Yeah, I will give you that. They gotta find another angle rather than Biden is old. They beat that horse to like the bloodiest of pulps.
It's glue at this point. Yeah.
It's Elmer's. Like they gotta do something. Like it can't all be. He's old. It's like when Norm would just constantly joke about OJ Simpson being a murderer, you know, which he was or is. He's not dead. But like you're just beating.
So you think they need to find a take on OJ Simpson that doesn't involve him being a murderer?
Well, you know, yeah, that'd be nice. But like with Biden. If you're going to make fun of him because both sides or whatever, like, The old thing, the old thing is old. All right.
Yeah.
The old is old. So just please just think of something else.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe that's just me. Maybe I'm just a grouchy old man.
I hear what you're saying. And you can also be a grouchy old man. The two things are not mutually exclusive.
Thank you. My birthday's coming up in 2 weeks, everybody. Hey.
Yay.
Hey. The old man's getting older.
Yeah. So next sketch.
Next sketch. We got The Floor.
The Floor is parodying the newish game show with Rob Lowe is hosting. I have not watched this game show. Have you watched it?
Nope.
So it's people are answering trivia questions, and then it's that claims them more territory on the floor, and then whoever has the most territory on the floor wins the game.
Something like that. I don't know. I don't know if it's like a chess game. Well, I will, side note, isn't it kind of weird how, like, game show hosts now are just straight-up celebrities? Like, it feels like, like, you know, back in my day, you had game show hosts that were just game show hosts, like Pat Sajak and Trebek and Wink Martindale and that dude that did Love Connection. Like, game show hosts were
Chuck Woolery.
Yes, Chuck Woolery. Like, game show hosts.
Two and two.
Yeah, two and two. But yeah, game show hosts were just game show hosts. But now we have celebrities just being the game show hosts, like, you know, Jamie Foxx and I think like Alec Baldwin and
Chris Hardwick.
And now Rob Lowe. And it's like Anthony Anderson. It's like, oh, the celebrities are muscling in on the game show hosting territory now.
It ain't right. Ain't right, is it?
Ain't right. These celebs are taking jobs away from hardworking game show hosts, and I ain't standing for it.
That's right, America.
America. That's right.
So anyway, we're parodying this game show host this game show The Floor that Rob Lowe is hosting, and we haven't seen it. We have no idea if. I guess this is more or less how the show goes, and it's an NBC show, isn't it?
Fox.
Oh, it's Fox. Oh, that's right. They did say it was Fox on there. Okay.
So yeah. But they kind of explain the show in like a sentence or two up top. But
it's, yeah.
But it's still kind of forgettable.
So yeah, so we start out with our two contestants are Shane Gillis and Bowen Yang. By the way, did you think before Bowen popped up in the HR sketch, did you think there was a chance we wouldn't see Bowen Yang tonight?
Yes, I did. I totally did. Because Bowen hasn't commented on the Shane Gillis firing or him being the host of the show, as far as I know. So like no one really knows.
But he's also not hesitated to be outspoken about Nikki Haley having a cameo or
Elon Musk or whoever. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like he's been outspoken about things, but for some reason the Shane thing he's been pretty mum on. So like no one knows how he feels about it. I mean, people are kind of projecting their feelings onto it. Like it was announced that Shane got the gig, people were like, oh, I wouldn't blame Bowen if he'd left because this is so disrespectful to him. And he's got to be fuming right now. And meanwhile, Bowen hadn't said anything about it, so we don't know what he's thinking.
Yeah.
So I did think...
Bowen's just this big Rorschach test for the SNL fandom. Yeah.
Like, I feel this, therefore Bowen feels
therefore
this.
Bowen must agree with me, yeah.
Yeah, so, like, I had no idea how he felt about it. So I did think, like, for a minute, maybe Bowen won't be in any sketches. So it wasn't until the HR sketch before, I was like, oh, Bowen's here, all right.
yeah. So, that was interesting. I don't think I have anything more to say on that other than, oh, that's interesting. Okay, all right, so Bowen is there, and apparently he's there, and he has no problem with it. And
yeah, apparently he's fine with it, because, like, at the, I'll fast forward a little bit. If you saw at the Good Nights, a lot of people kind of took pictures of it. There is one moment where Shane and Bowen do shake hands and hug.
Yeah. I watched it on Peacock, and yes, I understand that in the broadcast it was cut off, like, before they reached each other. That was just a timing thing, but yeah, they hugged at Good Nights.
So, yeah, I guess they're okay.
They're okay, or, you know, I mean, if you're, like, some sort of paranoid conspiracy theorist, you know, they want to put up the appearance of them being okay.
That's what the man wants you to think.
Yeah, you know who the man is, right? Lauren Michaels.
That's right, Lauren Mancles.
Yeah.
Because he's the man?
We'll work on it. We'll work on the name.
We'll workshop it. We'll workshop it. The floor.
The floor. So, yeah, we got the two contestants, Shane and Bowen. They have to name various drinks based on pitchers. Shane gets orange juice right off the bat, and then Bowen blanks on milk. Yeah. And he has all sorts of comical names for milk.
Calling it white water, boob water, liquid teeth, liquid cocaine.
Yeah. And I enjoyed liquid cocaine.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
That was funny. That was cute. That was cute.
Yeah. And then so Bowen leaves, and then Heidi comes on. And then
the other contestant that Shane is competing against. Yeah.
Yeah. And then the subject is famous figures. And she gets Lincoln, he gets FDR. Next up, they show Frederick Douglass. He doesn't know who it is. MLK, right. He doesn't know who it is. Al Sharpton, he doesn't know who it is. Aretha Franklin doesn't know who it
is. But he keeps insisting that he does know who the person is, but he's just very nervous. And he doesn't, he doesn't want to risk getting a black celebrity wrong and looking racist.
Yeah. What I thought was happening was, because at the beginning of this part, he was saying how much of a history buff he is. Uh-huh. How much he loves history. And I do know, like, for a lot of, you know, middle-aged white people, when they say they're history buff, they usually mean, like, stuff like the Civil War and Vietnam. But when it comes to, like, black history, they're not as knowledgeable.
Right, yeah.
I thought that might be the turn on it. But yeah, then I guess, yeah, which I thought would have been, an interesting little commentary, but it just, I guess they decided to go a different way and just have him be nervous and not wanting to mistake one black famous black person for another.
It was a little muddled.
Yeah. A little bit.
And then at the very end, the only black person he can identify is Cleveland from Family Guy. That's the only person he feels confident enough to name.
Yeah. So then Ego Woden comes up and they have to do famous art. And of course, throughout this, Shane is like, oh, did you see? I knew who those black people were. Did you see that? And she's like, yeah, so I did, you know.
Yeah.
But then Ego kind of flounders over all the famous art pictures, you know, saying, oh, that's a Hoe and a Half Shell, Mr. Penis.
Which was weird that we're shifting to that. Like,
yeah, right?
It felt like they were, the way in. Yeah.
It felt like there were like two different ideas for the sketch that kind of crashed together.
It's like, is this, okay, is it about this guy not knowing any notable black people, or is it about people just generally being clueless? Because at different points in the sketch, it was about both of those things.
Yeah, so I didn't know what the focus was on the sketch. And at the very end of the sketch, they show a picture of Basquiat, and Shane is like, oh, I know who that is, that's Basquiat. And then Ego's like, no, that's not Basquiat, that's The Weeknd. And then Shane is like, oh, yeah, and that's totally weak. I knew that. I'm sorry. And then the sketch just ends.
Yeah.
I was like,
very odd.
Very abrupt ending. I was like, oh. Yeah. Cause, I don't know. Yeah, this sketch wasn't, I wasn't a fan of this one. Like, I just, again, like, I thought it did, I don't know where the focus was. Like,
it had its moments, but yeah, again, I just, I didn't know what the main thrust was supposed to be. So it was tough for me to enjoy it on that level.
Yeah, it's like, is the main focus like all these people just floundering under pressure, or the fact that Shane, you know, and doesn't know who the black celebrities are, but says he does?
This is honestly another sketch, and I know we got to keep coming back to this, but I honestly was imagining like what Louis C.K. could have done with the sketch, and I think it would have been much, much better, because Louis C.K. leans into those moments of awkwardness.
Yeah, yeah.
And he loves doing that stuff. I think he really could have elevated this.
I think so. It seems like Shane is sort of like Louis, but I think Louis is stronger at things like that, like leaning into the awkwardness, whereas Shane doesn't quite hit as well.
Yeah,
and
he's
just
not as polished of a performer.
Yeah, and plus that ending was super weak. I was like, that's how we're gonna go out? Really?
Oh, yeah, it's weird.
Oh my.
It's really weird.
Speaking of week, 21 Savage comes out with, I'll say it. Two songs, Red Rum and Should've Worn a Bonnet / Prove It with Brett Fayez and Summer Walker.
Okay.
I didn't write that. I wrote down, hey, a violinist. Hey, ballet dancers.
Hey, they're using dry ice again. Yay.
Yeah, and then just 21 Savage just kind of lazily sleepwalking through this entire performance with absolutely zero energy.
Yeah.
Like, I kind of look to see, like, oh, is this his thing? Does he just kind of, like, you know, half drowsily kind of go through his performance and kind of, yeah, I'm listeners, I'm sorry.
Did he take a lot of sleeping pills before he came on the show?
Yeah, take some no-dose, motherfucker. Come on.
He didn't really have any flow or anything. It was like some of the least energetic rap I've ever seen, man.
He really looks like he doesn't want to be there. I expect him to pull out his phone and just kind of go start scrolling through it at any minute. It's just like, oh, what's...
I tuned out pretty quickly. Like, mentally tuned out, I mean, not actually tuned out.
Yeah. No,
I just thought this was horrible. He was just very annoying, and it came off very pretentious.
Yeah.
You know, like, oh, I'm so great. I'm such a genius. But it was just a whole lot of nothing there.
And I looked at his past performances, and that seems to be just how he performs. Just wearing sunglasses, just kind of no energy, just kind of like, he has the energy of somebody doing the bare minimum. Like, I am contractually obligated to do this, and you will get the barest of minimums from me. And yeah, 21, red rum.
Yeah.
And like, I was like, what?
Just did nothing for me, man.
Yeah, it's like, come on, man. Like, you're on Saturday Night Live. Let's act like pumped up. Act like you want to be here. Just do something to get the crowd pumped. Just don't kind of fucking lazily, drowsily sleepwalk through this shit. It was like, what the fuck? Like,
I think you disliked it more than I did, maybe.
I really did. I guess I did. Like, and I did.
I was just like, I didn't think much of it, but I didn't get as worked up as you are.
I don't know. Maybe it's just because I like hip hop so much and whatnot. And maybe this is the thing where, with like a lot of newer rappers are doing it, where they just perform like they genuinely don't care. Because like I remember the Ice Spice performance was kind of the same thing. Like her arms were kind of by her side and it was like,
oh yeah, it's cooler not to care.
Yeah. And I'm like, what is this? Is this hip hop now? Is this what the kids are into? Just like kind of acting like this whole thing is whatever and not getting the audience pumped up or anything. Just kind of, it's just like, you just like perform like you just drank a whole bunch of NyQuil. It's like, fuck this noise.
Yeah. So no, we did not care for Mr. 21 Savage there.
No, 21 Savage. No, more like 21 shitty.
21 on a scale of 1 to 100.
Hey, my man.
Got him.
Got him.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice, bro.
We're going to beat me and 21 Savage. We're going to be beefing now.
That's right. Yeah. Bring it, 21. Bring all 21 of your savages.
Yeah.
Yeah. Weekend update.
Yeah, great. Yeah. Yeah. So weekend update. Yeah. Weekend update. Colin Jost, Michael Che. You know the drill.
Yeah. Trump jokes. He won.
Trump jokes. Trump's undefeated everywhere except court. That's a decent enough line.
Jost had that line about how frozen embryos are now considered to be children, and black embryos can be tried as adults.
It's a decent line. Yeah.
Decent line. Yeah. Che had another joke about how zombie deer diseases could spread to humans, so please wear a condom.
Yeah.
Not a bad joke. There's some good stuff here overall.
Yeah. Decent enough. I didn't really write down many jokes about from the weekend of it. We had a couple of death segments. We had Marcello as an embryo from Alabama commenting on that recent court case that frozen embryos are the same as children.
2024, people. We're in 2024.
The world is just so insane now. It's
just a big old bag of madness. Like no one's running the ship. So Marcello comes out of the frozen embryo, which basically means he has like a bald head on, earmuffs and a scarf, and like a white turtleneck. So he kind of looks
some
like
icicles
a,
and
So he kind of looks like a sperm, but
kind of, yeah.
This part, I don't know. This wasn't.
It was okay. It didn't really send me in a big way.
Yeah, I thought they would kind of really have like something to say about this ruling and just kind of attack it with some bite. but they really didn't. I thought it was like the it's like him kind of making like saying, "Oh yeah, I have no brain, no heart. I'm like Tom Sandoval from Vanderpump Rules."
Yeah, I was like, you want a little more edge.
Yeah, like some people in the audience got that reference, but I was like, "The fuck, Tom Sandoval? Who the fuck is that?"
Somebody from Vanderpump Rules.
Apparently. Yeah, yeah. I was like, I guess. And, you know, and then they talk about how the ruling is crazy, how like sperm should be considered people too, then if you're going to go that route, and how then he made like a joke about.
And then we just segue into a lot of Michael Che masturbates jokes.
Yeah. Like, I don't know. I feel like, like I feel like this was like a missed opportunity where like you could have had some really sharp, funny commentary with some bite saying something, but they kind of ended up saying nothing.
I wanted something with the edge that, you know, of like, you know, what Cicely Strong did with the Goober's a Clown or the trucker thing that she did. I want something with that kind of edge to it. Cause this is such a, you know, idiotic thing.
Yeah. Like you could have really gone in on this and just talked about how, like, I don't know, done something, but this is, such like a just playing with kid gloves here. This is such a whatever. Like you're not real. Like you're taking on a serious subject, but you're not saying anything about it. Like you're not doing anything that has like some real edge, some real teeth. Like you should be fucking going for the jugular, but you're not.
Yeah.
And so it's this is kind of whatever. So this just ends up being something that everybody will forget. Like come next week. Like I can't even for some reason. Like, when I was rewatching this, I had to rewatch it on Peacock. For some reason, like, the YouTube clip of this death segment isn't on YouTube.
Huh.
It's weird. Like, this
and... they shifting to the dress rehearsal or something? I don't know.
I don't know. Like, this and the other death segment, which we'll talk about. Yeah, they're both not on the YouTubes. But yeah, like, anyway, this... I mean, Marcelo tries to sell it, but the jokes are weak and he's not... They don't... There's no real message here, and it's just kind of it's just kind of a big shoulder shrug. It's just kind of whatever.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, which is too bad.
Too bad. You could have had it all. You could have been a contender.
Yep. Didn't we almost have it all?
Oh, see, now I got you singing songs. Yay! Didn't we all?
You have me referencing songs. Whatever. Let's settle down here.
Baby steps.
I'm not breaking into my Whitney.
Baby steps, baby. I'll get you there. I'll take you there.
Anyway, we also had, if you were wondering, hey, why wasn't Bowen Yang the one in the absurd costume? That's usually his thing. It's because we have Bowen Yang in another absurd costume as Truman Capote.
Yes.
What was their rationale for him dressing up as Truman Capote? I don't even remember.
Women's History Month coming out in March, baby.
Okay. So of course we have Truman Capote.
Yeah, because like I think the rationale is FX has that show with Truman Capote.
Yeah, Feud.
Feud, Truman Capote and the Swans. And it seems like Truman Capote is kind of notorious for not liking women very much. So they thought, he hates women, so we should have him on to talk about Women's History Month. And, you know.
Okay.
So that's I guess that's the premise. So that
All right.
So they have him talking about, you know, Amelia Earhart, the great Butch of the Sky. And, you know, Betsy Ross, who sewed the flag that had 13 stars on it because that's as high as she could count.
Right.
And, you know, him talking about how women are like kombucha. They're full of yeast and they're technically alive.
Yeah. I was just very so-so on this. It didn't do much for me.
Yeah. Like, I mean, there are a few... goodish lines, and Bowen sells it. You know, his Truman Capote is pretty okay. But yeah, like, it just seems like them kind of just taking pot shots and digs at women of history.
It should have been, like, on the level of a Jebediah Atkinson.
I was trying to think of his name so I could reference it. And you, you read my mind, brother.
I read your mind, but I improved it because I remembered the name when you didn't.
That's right.
Because if I was actually reading your mind, I also would have been blanking on the name. But I did. Did I? Darren Patterson.
Yeah. You're better than me. You're the master.
This is what I'm saying, yes.
Okay. But it should have been maybe on that level. Maybe something more, like a bigger flourish or something more ostentatious, I guess, or you know,
something was missing from this.
Yeah, him saying, "Oh, I love women." That's what dolls are based on. I was like, all right, that's something.
I don't know. I mean, you know, if you ask me, like, hey, do you want to see Bo and Yang dress up as Truman Capote and be all catty to historical women? I would have been like, yes, that sounds hilarious. Let's do that. And then they did that, and I was just like, oh, well, that was just all right.
Yeah. I'm trying to think, like, what was missing from this?
I don't know.
It had all the ingredients to be something. It didn't quite get there. I can't.
Yeah.
I can't put my finger on it, but. I mean, maybe I'll just go ahead and blame the writing, like I always do.
Let's blame the writers.
Yes. It's your fault, writers. You let us down. we are salty today.
We are. Well, let's face it. It was a mediocre episode at best.
We are salty. We're like a ballpark pretzel.
All right. Back to the sketches.
We got
Gump.
Gump.
You know, what better time to parody the movie Forrest Gump then 30 years later.
Like, I can't prove it, but I feel like this is from Shane's, like, his act. Like, I feel like this premise might be from his stand-up.
Okay.
But that's the only rationale I have for them.
The general premise of Forrest Gump going back for his 20-year high school reunion?
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting enough premise. So that's basically it. Like, we're at a high school reunion in Greenbow, Alabama, 1985, we see Shane come in as
Ricky Monroe.
Ricky Monroe, who was
the big man on campus.
Exactly.
Back in the day.
Then he moved to the big city, Tallahassee, Florida, where he became the third best night. He became the owner of the third best nightclub, and you know, and he meets his old friend that he played football with, and they see that. Oh my God, is that Gump over there? It's like, hey, remember when we used to like chase him with my truck and throw rocks at him? What? Those are the best times of my life.
Yeah, and I think it was Dismukes is like, no, actually, I'm rather ashamed of that. And yeah, I those aren't good memories for me.
Right, and like, and so basically, Shane has this over the top Ricky Monroe saying, Gump is probably so loser, still living with his mama and all that stuff. And
right, and we have Mikey Day as Forrest Gump and.
Yeah,
and they bring out they give out the prizes, and Forrest Gump wins most successful.
Yeah,
because you know, I'm assuming everybody has seen Forrest Gump. You know, he becomes like a billionaire because he invests in Apple, and the Bubblegum Shrimp Company is a big success. And they're like, oh, hey, are you still living with your mama? And he's like, no, my mama's in heaven.
It's like, oh, I'm sorry, man. Yeah.
And like, do you have any friends
that aren't dead?
That aren't dead.
Because he said, I want to dedicate this award to Bubba. And it's like, oh, he wants to, you know, he couldn't be here because he's imaginary. Ha ha.
Yeah.
And he's like, actually, no, he died in Vietnam. I was like, thank you for your service. So sorry.
Right.
And then, of course, he wants to dedicate it to his girl, Jenny. And then Shane's like, oh, you nailed down Hot Jenny? How'd you do that? Like, where is she? And it's like, oh, she's in heaven. It's like, oh, God damn it. All right, you win.
Yeah. And he's like, do you have any friends that aren't dead? And he's like, well, there's Lieutenant Dan. And he's like, hey, Lieutenant Dan, stand up. Where are you? And, you know, it's funny because Lieutenant Dan lost his legs.
Yeah. And, of course, Shane Gillis' character, Ricky Monroe, is like, well, you know, I got two jet skis and I did cocaine with Danny DeVito. So that's... Yeah, and then it just basically ends with Gump taking Ricky Monroe's girl, saying like the two of them are like peas and carrots.
Yeah.
The premise isn't terrible.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to like this more than I did. It, you know, it sounds funny.
I think
it wasn't too funny in execution.
Yeah, I think it just needed stronger jokes.
Mm-hmm.
I think it, yeah, like the fact that, you know, like him talking, like when Shane gets up there on stage and talks about, oh, where's Bubba and stuff, and it's like, oh, he's actually dead, and it's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Like, I think there needed to be maybe something a little bit more there. It definitely needed a stronger ending. And, like, it just, it just kind of peters out.
I don't know. Yeah, we could have done something because that, I mean, that movie is so well known. You don't really have to bring people up to speed. You can just reference a thing from the movie and people know, instantly know what you're talking about. But
yeah, but it just, there wasn't a lot of there for this sketch. Yeah. Like, I feel like it could
also have... I was kind of wondering, like, well, in the world of Forrest Gump, wasn't it like also that Forrest Gump, the person, he wasn't terribly well known, even though he'd had all these sort of brushes with fame through his life.
Is it? Yeah, I guess so.
But I don't know. Yeah. I don't want to take it apart too much.
Yeah, like, I don't think it was supposed to be that cerebral, the sketch, but yeah, it's still interesting premise, but I don't think the execution was fully there.
Yeah.
All right, let's go on to Fugliana, written by...
Fugliana.
Written by DiCenzo, Nordwin, Sarah Sherman, and Ward.
Okay. So, this is... you ever have a sex doll, but the sex doll feels too attractive for you, so you want like a more attainable sex doll? Basically, that's the basic premise behind this.
Yeah,
because having too attractive of a sex doll just doesn't make you feel good about yourself. Like, you still feel unworthy.
Well, then you want a Fugliana.
Fugliana, and Sarah plays the main Fugliana. But we get to see some of the other SNL cast members get in on the action. They're like, hey, can we play Fugly Sex Dolls too? It's always been our dream.
Can we be objects? Yeah.
So, yeah, she's the average-looking sex doll for below-average-looking men. Decent enough premise.
Yeah, it's a sketch where, like, once you hear the title Fugliana, you think it's... Like, when I heard them say Fugliana and they showed, like, you know, Sarah Sherman and Heidi and whatnot, I was like, oh, this is kind of, seems kind of mean-spirited to call, like, even if it's a sex doll, like, a woman fugly. But then, as you watch it, you see, like, oh, actually, no, the joke is on these loser dudes that feel so, like, intimidated and have low self-esteem around, you know, unobtainably attractive sex doll that they need to get with a... average looking sex dolls to make themselves feel better. So I was like, once I saw it through that lens, I was like, okay, so maybe it's not, you know, as
it kind of reminded me. I was like, gosh, I need to someday sit down and watch that movie, Lars and the Real Girl. I never got around to seeing that, and
yeah,
I hear that was good.
Yeah, me neither. I heard good things about that too, but I never,
because that was was it Ryan Gosling in that?
It was Ryan Gosling, yes.
Is Ryan Gosling, he's a guy who has a sex doll and he starts taking a sex doll all around and starts treating it like it's his actual girlfriend.
Oh boy.
I think that was it.
That's basically the premise, yeah.
Yeah, and people just kind of tolerate that?
Yep.
I think.
Everybody's like, no, that's not weird at all.
Yeah.
But it is very weird. They even kind of make a joke about that in this sketch where it's Mikey and Punky as the sex doll, and Punky's like doing like the hand jerky motion around.
Yeah, and he's like, not right now, honey. Yeah.
I don't know if that was planned or not, but it seemed like she was just doing it in the moment. And
if she just like threw that at him on air, that would be hilarious.
Yeah. And so basically, and then it's Mikey saying, yeah, like when I used to bring my old sex dolls to restaurants, people would look at me because thinking that she was out of my league. But like now I bring...
And now they look at me because I'm a guy taking a sex doll to a restaurant.
Yes, absolutely. And then they also had that other one where James Austin Johnson and Heidi were doing testimonials, and James Austin Johnson was talking... I had to write this down because it was like one of the wordiest punchlines I've ever heard in a sketch.
Lay it on me, baby.
Where, you know, James Austin Johnson was talking about how other sex dolls are out of your league, but Fugliana looks like the type of woman that will S your D for air fryer dino nuggets and some limeade in a Shrek cup.
That's very specific.
It's very specific. I was like, why is this so wordy? Holy moly. That's very specific. Are you talking to somebody you know in particular, Mr. DiCenzo?
It's, you know, like, yeah, you kind of wonder like what, like how they were inspired to write this sketch. I was also wondering, like, you know, what inspired them to write the HR sketch this week. I was like, did we have HR training at 30 Rock this week?
Oh boy.
are some cast members and, you know, dating each other on the down low or something? What's going on?
I mean, Chloe and Nordwind. I mean, there's that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I guess she said yes the very first time he asked her out. Or vice versa. She could have asked him out. I don't know how those things work.
I got to look at Nordwind to see. I got to see how he looks before I can make judgment on that.
I think I've seen a picture of Nordwind once. I don't know. I don't know. He's a comedy writer, so I'm automatically assuming he's not too attractive.
You just automatically picture like Robert Schmeigel or something like that?
Yeah, okay. I'm curious now. I'm going to Google. He's a perfectly fine looking person. He's, you know, like average to above average.
Scale of 1 to 10. Can he get it? Trumbull. Go.
Well, I mean, he has, so.
Oh, okay. He has gotten it. I mean,
he's hooked up with Chloe Fineman, so he's obviously doing something right.
My man.
Yeah. And I guess he's a stand-up because the first picture that comes up is him on stage and he's holding a microphone. But he's holding the microphone like right up at the top.
Oh.
The head of the mic.
Like a rapper?
Yeah, kind of.
All right. Is he spitting bars? Why is he... All right, that's a weird one.
No. It looks like he's in mid-stand-up set. So,
okay.
I don't know. But, you know, maybe. Attractive for a comedy writer, I would say.
Okay. I'll take your word for it. But yeah, this sketch was interesting. I don't know if it was...
Oh, is that the kindest way to put it?
I thought it was interesting. It had some lines, like I did like how... I did like how Sarah Sherman as the sex doll was like kind of always like kind of leaning up against Shane, trying to make him break a little bit.
Yeah.
And like falling.
Yeah. She seemed to be having fun with it.
Yeah. And then like, when Shane, points out that the sex doll has like a pull string in the back that you can make her say things. One of the things she says is let's make this quick, that Wawa Sushi is about to make me paint your tank.
Yeah.
Jesus.
Paints a picture.
It does. It really does. But yeah, like this sketch is. I didn't.
You seem perplexed.
I didn't hate it, but I didn't love it.
Yeah.
Like it's an interesting premise. I do like the premise of a guy being so insecure that even hot sex dolls like makes him feel like less of a man.
I mean, is there such a thing as a hot sex doll? I don't even know.
I would assume, I don't know anything about that world. I would assume so.
Yeah, I'm not versed in that world. I've only seen the odd picture of a sex doll. And every time I look at it, I'm just like, I can't imagine going there.
some dudes do. Oh, they go there.
Well, and hey, whatever works for you. And you're not, as long as you're not hurting anybody, go nuts, go wild.
We're not here to sex doll shame.
I can't imagine, you know, having that thought like, hey, I should order myself a sex doll. And then you actually go through with it. And then you like actually order it and it arrives in the mail. And then they're like inflatable, right?
I think it's like silicone or something.
Okay.
I'm just assuming that's just what I've assumed. But also like if you're going to go there and do that, that's like a commitment. Then.
That's a commitment. That's what I'm saying. I mean, there are a lot of steps that you have to go. You know, it's not a thing that you do on impulse. There is pre-planning involved.
Yeah. And like, once you get it, you got to like clean it out, like, you know, weekly.
Oh yeah. That's a whole, you've just basically given yourself another household task.
Yeah. Like that don't fit in the dishwasher. You got to like hand wash that or.
You know, yeah. That seems like that would be an involved cleaning process.
Yeah. Maybe even like drive it to the car wash, maybe strap it to your hood, but like other you gotta.
Now there's a comedy sketch.
There you go. Very nice. It's like, oh god, it's the guy in the Hyundai again. Just strap it to the hood of your car like you just killed a deer or something.
I don't know, man. Wow.
Yeah.
this was all right. I didn't hate it. It was fine.
It was all right. It was all right.
Yeah.
And finally,
you know, Sarah seemed to enjoy playing the sex doll. So, you know, yes. Who am I to poo poo that?
Yes, exactly. Do what you love and you won't never work a day in your life.
Right.
So final sketch of the night, our 10 to 1. They're listening.
We got a bunch of friends at the bar. They're talking about how You know, things like Siri and Alexa, they're never truly off. They eavesdrop on all your conversations. So if you say like, "Hey, I want to take a trip to the Cayman Islands," it'll start sending you hotel information about the Cayman Islands or something like that.
Yeah, that's basically something a lot of us already know. Like, all our devices are listening, and the algorithm, and blah blah blah, and yeah, we're just being fed ads, ad nauseum, and our information is free for anyone to use, and la di da.
Right, right. And you know, they're trying to prove this point about how Alexa's always listening, and then so they say to Shane Gillis's character, "Well, you know, hey, we'll prove it. Like, go to your Gmail and look at the ad at the bottom right." And he's like, "Oh, what? It's for a Green Bay Packers butt plug. You know what? What does that prove? That's just totally random."
Yeah. And,
you know, it gets very specific on the features he wants in the Green Bay Packers butt plug. Like, it sings the fight song, and then it gets like louder at a certain moment. And
when you open your mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. That was it.
And then he goes through his other ads that pop up on his phone, like hair restoration, Constance Wu autograph memorabilia, which is very random. Green Bay Packers strap on, which is another thing. And he, of course, he kind of denies, like, "Oh, see, I don't know. You know, I don't know what that means. Green Bay Packers strap on. That could be random." And people are like, "Well, you're a Green Bay Packers fan. You're wearing a t-shirt." And he's like, "Well, yeah, because I'm from Wisconsin. And this could have been my wife messing on my phone." And And then, like, basically at the very end of the sketch, one of the friends sees he has an app on his phone. They press it, and that activates the Green Bay Packers butt plug. And, you know, they tell him to open his mouth. He opens his mouth. It gets louder. So he's wearing a butt plug. Yeah. Yeah, this felt pretty flat to me, too. Like, I feel like
sketch to end the night with.
Yeah. Like, I feel like, again, it feels like something, like a topic that's really of the moment, you know, how Alexa and all these devices are listening to our info. It feels like you could have really done some really sharp commentary and had some really sharp jokes about that. But instead, they just go to the fucking low-hanging fruit and butt plugs and strap-ons.
Yeah.
And, like, they end up saying nothing. I was like, all right, butt plugs, okay.
Yeah.
And it's one of those things where I guess they feel like, oh, just the idea of a butt plug is enough to make people laugh and carry a sketch, and it's really not.
Well, look, we've already done the blow-up dolls. We got to cover the butt plugs as well.
Yeah, it just feels like a lot of low-hanging fruit throughout this whole episode, like butt plugs and sex dolls and strap-ons and bloody. It's just like, and you know, jerking off in cum rags with frozen embryo with Marcello. And it's like, are we? Can we like elevate this a little bit, maybe, guys? You know, like, I mean, there's nothing wrong with like low hanging fruit, and you know, I don't want to sound like some high minded, highfalutin comedian. Like, I would never.
You dropped your monocle, Aaron.
It's like I laughed at. I watched Jackass. I laughed at that. So I'm clearly I'm not some hoity toity, person who reads the New Yorker for humor. But at the same time, I like low hanging fruit and like kind of crass jokes like that are just kind of like, we can do better. We can be better people. Come on.
Can we? Can we, though?
I think I want to believe we can.
Okay. All right.
They can be.
All right, Fox Mulder. I want to believe.
I want to believe. They can be.
Putting up your little UFO poster in your basement office. Okay.
They can be better people, Kal-El.
They wish to be. They only lack the light to show them the way.
Thank you. I knew you'd get that.
Well, yeah, you've been following my Twitter feed this week.
Yeah, I have. And yet,
read through for Superman Legacy just happened, people.
Ooh-wee. Check it out. And that's the episode. I would say it's slightly better than the Elordi and Dakota episode. Not quite as good. I think the Io Debris episode was still better. But
that was better.
But yeah, this episode was still kind of, I don't know.
I still feel like the show's on a bit of a downward trajectory right now.
It
hasn't blown me away a whole lot this season, you know?
It really hasn't, and I don't know what's going on. Like, in the first half of this season, it seemed like we were doing all right. But ever since 2024 hit, like, I don't, the writing quality is just like, has not found its footing. I'm like, is what is going on in that writing room, guys? Come on, man. Like, is everything all right in there? Do we need a shakeup? Do we need a shakeup in the writing room?
I don't know. You know, you want the show to be in a better place, like going into the 50th year. So I hope they can work this out in the next year, because it's just not, you know, the show's just been fair to middling at best lately, and it's kind of a drag to see, and it's kind of a drag to see week after week.
Yeah, like, I mean, yeah, SNL is something I would look forward to watching. Like, that's why we started this podcast, because I genuinely like it, but. Yeah. I don't know, with the past few episodes that's been at the start of this year, I was like, it's starting to feel like a little bit of a chore, and I hate that.
It is, yeah, it is, and it's getting me down a little bit. Yeah, so I want the show to bounce back, yeah, because it's, yeah, it is a drag to just watch the show and be disappointed week after week, so.
Yeah, it's like, what's going on, guys? I don't know. But, I mean, are we the only ones... What do the listeners think? Let's go to the Twitter and see what our Twitter fans.
Let's see. Okay. You want to start or should I?
I'll do it. Lehot Lion, Boardman gets paid, my man. Hi guys, best episode so far. I don't know what that says about me, but I'll accept it.
Is he talking about us or is he talking about SNL?
I think he's talking about the Shane Gillis episode, but I'm gonna want to believe he's talking about us.
Okay, all right.
He's talking about this episode we're recording right now. This is the best.
Wow. Episode. Okay. He's just being very encouraging.
I've seen the future, and this is the best episode so far.
Yeah.
Also, I've listened to the podcast enough to know John is not going to like 21 Savage. Correct.
Yeah, I read that. That kind of surprised me. I was like, are my musical opinions that predictable?
Yep. If it ain't REM or the Monkees, it's crap.
that is completely unfair, sir. I also enjoy Elvis Costello.
Yes. And I feel heard knowing I don't have to hide my khaki shorts anymore. Yeah, the khaki.
Ooh. Okay. All
yeah,
right.
That whole thing with Marcello and just half his ass hanging out. That's a weird way to end a sketch.
It really is.
I really do feel like they were like, we don't have a strong ending for this. So, hey, Marcello, wanna show your cheeks?
Yeah, just very odd.
Wanna degrade yourself for the show? Huh?
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, well, I mean, congratulations on guessing that I wasn't gonna like 21 Savage. You were correct.
Yes, but did you guess that I also would not like 21 Savage?
I mean, I don't know if I saw that coming.
Yeah, that performance was just PU.
Yeah. Let's see. Our friend Techie, who's at Uncle Scrooge Duck without a U, says, the Shane bit made it too hard to enjoy. Seemed like he was in every sketch. Well yeah, he was the host. Yeah,
that's what hosts do. Yeah.
Yeah. Weekend Update seemed okay, but Colin acted like he was embarrassed by a joke. This wasn't a joke swap, and isn't he a head writer? Own your jokes. I'm not sure which joke he's talking about there, but okay.
I got to go back and watch. I do remember, there seemed like one joke that didn't go over well, where he was kind of like, oh, yeah. Like he didn't believe in it.
Mm-hmm.
And like, yeah, and I will agree with you there, Techie. Like, if you don't believe in the joke, then don't tell the, then why tell the joke? Like,
yeah.
If
was it maybe the joke where he was like, oh, yeah, Black History Month is almost over?
No, that joke was all right. There was I forget what it was. There was a joke where it didn't go over well, and even he was like kind of ashamed that he told it. And like, if
I'd have to go back and look, as I'm, that's not ringing a bell.
Yeah, but like, yeah, I agree with you, Techie. If the jokes got through all the rewrites and everything, and it got approved for air. You sell that joke, you own it, and let the chips roll where they may.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our good friend Jacob at darkmatter_362 says, number one, episode was tough, middling at best.
Ooh.
Outside of the obvious political factors, I pray we don't have four more years of Trump just to avoid these cold opens. Though I will say the sneaker sketch was surprisingly funny, but I have low expectations for Trump-related sketches. Then he goes on to say, don't know much about Gillis outside of hiring drama. He was okay. Monologue was fine, didn't sell me on his stand-up. Most sketches were weak, with worse endings than usual. HR was decent. If you can't end a sketch, ass does help. That's how I live my life.
I think that's hung up in the writer's room somewhere. Yeah. If you can't end a sketch, ass does help.
Gump was fun. Butt plug seemed rushed / unrehearsed. 2 out of 5.
Oh, is there anything worse than an unrehearsed butt plug?
Oof, yeah. It does seem to unrehearse that final sketch was a little... Because like I did notice there were some parts where... like Shane kind of flubbed his line that at one point.
It didn't have quite the flow that it should have. I was reading Dennis Perkins's review of it, and you know he was saying that it seemed really slow to get going.
Yeah, I think even Heidi kind of flubbed a line here and there. Like she kind of forgot it, but then kind of remembered it at the last minute. Mm-hmm. But yeah, 2 out of 5. Yeah, I think I'd agree with that there, Jacob.
Oh, okay, that was his score for the episode. I was looking at that. And I was like, is this his second 3 of 5? And I was like, where are the other 3 tweets? He, like, you know, this tweet was more than an hour ago. Where are the other? Okay, yeah. All right, now I understand. Yes. Okay.
But yeah, he gave it a 2 out of 5. I'd say that's about right.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
So. I mean, maybe one, I don't want to say 1.5. That sounds too harsh. But yeah, I'll go 2 out of 5.
Yeah. By the way, did you see the cut for time sketch?
Yes, let's talk about that.
That, I was pretty impressed by, actually. This is Limu, Emu, and Doug. You know, just parroting those Liberty Mutual commercials. Like, Limu, Emu, and Doug.
Right.
And it starts out like one of those typical Liberty Mutual commercials where they're bursting into a guy's apartment who's about to buy the wrong insurance. And the Emu gets a little too aggressive and shoots the guy to death. And he's like, I thought he was going for a gun.
Yeah, and then like Doug's like, he didn't have a gun, no way. And then Emo is like squawking, saying, well, he could have had a gun. And he pulls out a gun with a handkerchief, right, saying, there's no serial number on this one. Like, it basically takes a very dark turn, almost like Training Day, where where we find out like Emu is this like crooked cop who is like wants to plant a gun on the guy he just shot. And he finds out that he didn't find out, but he knew the guy was like a coke dealer. Yeah. So we just busted.
Yeah, he finds a big baggie of coke underneath, and he's like, oh, looks like this guy wasn't as squeaky clean as we thought. And he's like, opens the baggie with a knife and tastes some of the coke. And
yeah, and I like this. I thought this would have been sketch of the night if it made the air for me.
Absolutely. It was so twisted. You can't help but love it. It was very funny, and it's, you know, it's a quick thing. Doesn't overstay its welcome. It's just like 2 minutes. Shame it was cut for time.
Yeah, this should have made it. Like, I would have cut out maybe... the rock
literally bottom. Any other thing they put on this show.
Yeah, like maybe that Rock Bottom app, a Rock Bottom Kings app, and put this in.
You know what? I even though I like this better than the Rock Bottom, I wouldn't want to see them cut out Rock Bottom because I think that was one of the better things in the show.
Right, that's true. But
I would have cut out the Trump sneakers or the Gump or the Church on Vacation. What the hell was Church on Vacation doing up at the front of the show, man?
Yeah, that. They really had nowhere to go with that. They're just like, hey, it's upon the blood. And upon the blood does not a sketch make. You got to have some more jokes in there.
Yeah, correct. I mean, you know, I mean, even if it ended with like somebody in booty shorts, I still wouldn't have liked that sketch.
Absolutely. But and actually, I was also surprised at how quickly NBC put out this sketch. It was like literally like 30 minutes after the episode ended, they put out this cut for time sketch. They usually kind of wait till the next day or maybe like 2 days after, but they put this out like immediately after the show ended. And I really wish they kept this in the show. I thought it was pretty great.
It was good stuff.
It's a shame, but Shane Gillis episode didn't quite live up to the hype I thought it would, but it wasn't a total disaster.
Close to, I think. I don't know. It's not much I would have. Not much to write home about in this sketch, in this episode, I think.
Yeah, I'll agree. But
and I mean of this this episode of the podcast.
Yes, of course.
This was a very mediocre episode of the podcast as well.
Yes, one of our worst.
Yeah. No, I enjoyed it when we started talking about the Rolling Stones. That was fun.
Yeah. Ooh, I should think of more Rolling Stones songs. I know there's a ton more. Yeah. I said Tumbling Dice, right? That's a good one.
You said Tumbling Dice, yes. You said Tumbling Dice. You said Under My Thumb. You said,
I
believe you said She's So Cold.
Yeah. I mean, Gimme Shelter is always great.
Gimme Shelter's cool.
Damn it. All right, I gotta look up the best of Rolling Stones, and I'll come up with some more.
You'll get back to us.
Absolutely. But yeah, that's our episode, guys. Thanks for listening, as always, to the podcast. And we got a little bit SNL news, because earlier this week they announced who's going to be hosting the next two shows.
Yes, they did. They did. Next week we got Ms. Sydney Sweeney as the host, and the musical guest, was it Kelsey Musgraves?
Casey Musgraves. Yes. Yeah. So
Casey Musgraves.
Yeah. So Sydney Sweeney, who's like the hot up and coming new star, she blew up on her role in Euphoria. Has been in Handmaid's Tale, White Lotus.
And is our second host from Madam Web of this season.
The runaway hit that is Madam Web. The runaway hit
that is Madam Web.
God.
The movie that has already flopped hard, like, at least 2 weeks before she's coming on to host to promote it.
They gotta make fun of it. They just have to.
They gotta.
But I mean...
I think we are sure of seeing two things in the Sydney Sweeney episode. We're gonna see a Madam Web sketch or some Madam Web jokes, and we are also going to get a lot of boob jokes. Those are my two big predictions.
That's my fear. I'm afraid this will become like another Jacob Elordi situation where we just talk about the host's attractiveness nonstop. And I really, SNL, if you're listening, and I know you are, please just steer away from that. Like, yes, I know it's tough, but the whole show can't be. Oh my God, this person is so hot. It can't be.
I don't want the entire show to be that, but you know, like, I will allow them a few boob jokes. I mean, yes. Come on.
They're right there.
It's freaking Sydney Sweeney. How can we not go there?
Yeah, they're right there. And I get it.
Yeah.
And I understand it, but we gotta, it can't be all that.
Yeah, we should restrain ourselves and not do this in every single sketch.
Yes, like, we don't...
Because if for no other reason, it gets old.
Very much so, yes. Like, I know they...
Yeah.
When they have somebody like Margot Robbie or Ana de Armas, it's easy to go there, but, like, be strong, SNL, be strong.
Yeah.
And, yes, Casey Musgraves is the musical host. This will be her third time on the show. First time was back in May 2018 with host Amy Schumer. And then October of 2021 with Owen Wilson as host. So this will be a third time on the show.
Wow. Yeah.
But yes, I mean, as far as I know, she's always been pretty pleasant, good host. I think it'll be a good show. This will be, like I said, Sydney Sweeney's first time. And then March 9th, we got Mr. Josh Brolin with Ariana Grande.
And we got Thanos up in this house.
Yes. I mean, Josh Brolin will probably be here to promote Dune 2. And this will be his third time on the show. He was first on with some newcomer, some one-hit wonder named Adele on the October 2008 show. And then he was on again in April 2012 with the musical sensation that is Gautier. And then...
That was somebody I used to know.
There you go. There it is.
Yeah.
Now, Ariana Grande, this is her third time on the show. She was first on back in September 2014 on the Chris Pratt episode. And then March 2016, where she was the host and musical guest. And I know she has a new album to promote. And, of course, her role in Wicked, which also has Bone Yang in it. So, you know, she's kind of got some stuff.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for that at the Super Bowl. I wasn't too nuts about that trailer.
It looked kind of whatever. But I'm saying as somebody who's never seen Wicked. I've always wanted to see Wicked, but I just never, for whatever reason, I just never did. But yeah, like, it seems like it's going to be strictly for, like, the theater kids, that movie. Like, the diehard Wicked fans, the Wickaholics, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, both these shows seem like they're going to be good. The writing needs to be there, as long as the writing steps up, which I'm hoping they are. I think we're going to get I think we're finally going to get the shows that we really need to kick this season into full gear.
Yeah. That'd be nice, right?
It would be nice. It would be nice. But, yeah, so next week, Sydney Sweeney and Casey Musgraves. After that, March 9th, Josh Brolin, Ariana Grande.
Mm-hmm.
And, Rip This Joint. That's another Rolling Stones song I really like.
Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. That's the other one I was thinking. I'm looking through this now. And that's the episode, guys. Oh, She's a Rainbow. That's always a good one.
That's a pretty good one. Yeah.
Yeah. And that's our episode, guys. Thanks again for listening, as always, to our little podcast here. As always, you can follow us on Twitter, because we refuse to call it X, at SNL Nerds Show. And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and all the platforms at Darren Credible. That's D-A-R-I-N, Credible.
And you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram and Blue Sky at Trumbull Comic. That's T-R-U-M-B-U-L-L on the word comic. So you just go there for all your various John Trumbull needs.
Yeah, absolutely. Play with Fire is a good one.
I can't recall that one.
You can't burn me because you play with fire. Yeah, it's a good one. Trust me.
Okay.
19th Nervous Breakdown's another good one. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm telling you guys, these Rolling Stones, I think they got what it takes.
Yeah. They're going places.
They're going places. Indeed.
Mixed Emotions. I always like that one.
Ooh, Emotional Rescue.
That one from Steel Wheels. Yeah.
Ooh, Emotional Rescue. Like when they're disco era.
Yeah, I'm not as fond of the disco era, even though, you know, Shattered comes from Some Girls, which was basically their disco album.
Yeah, I don't mind Miss You. I think it's got a funky beat.
Start Me Up. I mean, love Start Me Up. It's a great rock song, man.
Oh yeah. Did you ever hear the version that the folksmen did? On the
yes, I believe so.
Mighty Wind. We probably talked about it on this podcast, but yeah, it's a banger, as the kids say.
Yeah. Yeah, good stuff. Good stuff.
Okay. All right. And that's all I have to say about that.
That's all I have to say about that. We'll see you next week with Sydney Sweeney and Casey Musgraves. But until then,
Nerds out.
This has been a non-productive media presentation. Executive producer, Frank Hablawi. This program and many others like it on the Non-Productive Network is distributed under a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives license. Please share it, but ask before trying to change it or sell it. For more information, visit non-productive.com.